This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. There are now more than 4.5 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 in the United States. More than 154,000 who contracted the virus have died. The coronavirus effect on individuals, families, and businesses continues to increase. Millions of Americans face an income crisis amid the COVID-19 pandemic, with no deal for continued unemployment enhancement in sight amid division between Republicans and Democrats over its scope. The CARES Act authorized a $600 federal boost to such payments, but the last of those were distributed last weekend. And that provision of the CARES Act officially ends today. Throughout the pandemic, we've been checking in with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell for a federal perspective on the response to COVID-19 and its impacts here at home. Are you still in Washington today, Representative Dingell?
I am in Washington as you and I are speaking, but I'm going to be coming home this afternoon because the Senate does not appear to be serious about trying to get something done. Nancy and Chuck Schumer are going to work over the weekend. I'm going to come home through the primary unless something breaks, and I will immediately fly back. I'm upset, David.
More than 25 million people had been receiving that extra $600 a month. There were more than 1.4 million new unemployment claims in just the last week alone. So I guess, like me, you fear that the ripple effects of not having a deal in place now will last well beyond the time whenever a deal is actually reached.
I am like you, and I'm like many Americans across this country. Phone calls have been pouring in this week. People are scared. They are terrified. I'm hearing from local cities and municipalities that need help. And it's not just the unemployment insurance, but the eviction is going to expire. I'm hearing story upon story about what's happening to people about their rent and their mortgage. We need to give them relief. COVID cases are going up. Tests are becoming harder to get. We don't have enough testing and tracing. We have a lot of crises. Now, last night, I talked to Nancy late last night, the speaker, and she had been in a negotiating session with Mark Meadows, and he had put on the table extending the unemployment and the $600 payment through the end of the year. But they weren't willing to do a lot of other things. Nancy and Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, or Senate Minority Leader, asked if they would be willing to extend it through the first quarter if they were to do the $600, because we can't keep playing with people's lives this way. Remember that this is the same United States Senate that closed down the government for 2 months and didn't care about people either. So they said no to that, but many think that the people may be beginning to come to the table to really negotiate. I know people are listening to us this morning, David. I know that they are scared. I know we will do something. I just don't know how quickly we will do it. But
so,
we will not cave on critical issues.
Now, certainly Republicans would disagree with your contention that they closed down the government because they don't care about people. They certainly put forth their own reasoning, but it is a matter of perspective. But even President Donald Trump has called on the Senate to at least pass that initial measure that would reinstate the unemployment benefit boost and to get new stimulus and relief checks out to individuals and families. Is there a split now that threatens to make this an even worse situation and delay a deal?
You know, there's an old saying that people with weak stomachs shouldn't watch laws or sausage being made. I don't know what's going to happen. I've seen this play out before. We're in the very ugly stage right now. And by the way, the Senate Republican caucus is very torn apart. They have very serious disagreements among themselves. They are scheduled to leave next Friday, the 7th. So there's one of two things in my mind that could happen. They want to go home, they want to get a deal, and they will ultimately put pressure on Senator Mitch McConnell to act and to do something and to deliver. I had dinner last Friday night with a senior senator. I didn't have a massive dinner. There were three of us, he, his wife, and me. And he told me that this deal could get done in 72 hours if Mitch was willing to actually sit down and negotiate it. So they're supposed to go out next Friday. Sometimes deadlines with the Senate when you've got an August work. There may be people that don't want to go home like I do. There may be senators who don't want to hear from people that are scared and frightened and need help and need a helping hand. And they may find it safe to sit in their homes in Washington and not be in touch with the reality of what's happening in their states. I hope that people who are listening to this and know Republican senators in other states will encourage them to call their senators and tell them how their lives have been disrupted by COVID and what they need, and that they need them to act.
Our conversation with 12th District Representative Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're in the immediacy of what we've been talking about to this point in the conversation. But I know, looking a little ahead, you've continued to talk with leaders in education, both at K-12 and college and university levels. Ann Arbor is among the public school districts that's decided to start the academic year entirely online, and more districts in Michigan and around the country are choosing to go in that direction as well. But even more, plan some type of hybrid learning schedule that includes in-person instruction. Now, my take on reading the science is that we will see outbreaks, and there will be further building, if not district-wide shutdowns, as we get into fall. Isn't the safer option to have distance and remote learning exclusively, at least to start, while we're seeing a surge in coronavirus cases and fatalities?
I think that this is a decision that has to be made on a local basis, that if And then that's talking nationally. Within the 12th, that's how it's got to be done, too. And in Michigan, you may have areas that COVID is under control. People are really wearing their masks. The teachers want to go back. But I think everybody's got to be part of the decision. I'm one of those people that believes in consensus and people talking. Many of the teachers are scared about returning to the classroom. And their voice matters. Parents have very mixed feelings. I think the school superintendents with the teachers' unions, the parents, the children, especially the older children in high school, have a right to have their voices heard and talk about how they're going to make this work. And I think that this is one of those things that needs to be made at a very local level.
All right, well, let's personalize it a bit. If you were to have a child that was either K through 12 aged, or even in college or university, would you be comfortable sending them back to an in-class instruction for the upcoming academic year here in Michigan?
So we have more COVID than I like. So in Wayne County, which I'm in the Wayne County, I'm not in Washtenaw County, but I agree with Ann Arbor's decision. We've had increased incidences, and I know the teachers don't want to go back, and I know a lot of the parents are concerned. So I'll answer that question by saying everybody came to the table. They haven't made the final decision, but I think there are real concerns about opening up, and I think that's valid. I watch Mark Schlessel, who's the president of the University of Michigan, who's an immunologist, and I know he knows what could happen on these college campuses. Now, I think the colleges are, it's far different than dealing with, I don't know how you're going to keep a five-year-old with a mask on and not playing and touching their friends. That's just a terrifying thought. And a teacher having that responsibility also has that as a terrifying thought. By the time you're at college, you at least can think about the implications. We've seen what's happened. Young people think that they can't get it, or if they get it, it's not going to be serious. You saw what happened at Harper's Bar in Michigan State, where the number of people infected because of the bar party there is in excess of 200. So I think it's people have to work really closely together, because we can't not educate our children. These are critical years right now, too. So there's some people that think they can do the combination of in-class and online. Young people have to be responsible to follow the rules. And if schools are, college and universities are going to have classes and do some in person, I think they got to have very strong consequences if people don't follow the rules.
Adequate childcare and home instruction is going to be difficult at best, and for some near impossible. So as we continue to negotiate this next package, will we be able to assist those in need on that front?
So we did pass a bill Wednesday that will give some immediate relief to child care providers. Many of the child care providers have closed because they've needed money. And most people, I get very frustrated when I hear everybody saying, oh, we're giving people a $600 supplement, they don't want to return to work. Most people are not returning to work for two reasons. One, child care issues, two pre-existing conditions, and they're at higher risk. And child care was broken before COVID. It's just shined a light and showed how fractured it is as an issue. We, again, as the United States and in America, are far behind where other countries are. So we've done some short-term actions this week, which will provide some assistance, but it's not enough, and ultimately this country needs to address not only child care, but caregiving for older people as well.
Well, we will talk again next Friday, and when we do, do you anticipate that you will have been back in Washington and voted on a new package?
I think I'm coming back to Washington next week because I care so deeply about this. I'm not willing to tell you yet that the United States will. I say that we need the Wizard of Oz to give the Tin Man a heart. We need the Wizard of Oz to give Mitch McConnell a heart so that we can move. And I don't know if that will happen or not.
Well, there's no place like home. Thank you so much for the time today, and we will talk again next week.
Thank you, David. Have a good weekend.
That is 12th District U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell. For more information on today's topic and to access all COVID-19-related news from both WEMU and NPR, visit our website at WEMU.org. I am David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.